Hello and greetings, Internet. This is episode 2 of the Anime Basement, brought to you for the Nerdsphere by myself, Extra, and my co-host for today, Luffy.
Hiya.
Today, we are going to be talking about the two Ghost in the Shell movies.
Yep.
Based on the manga by Masamune Mishiro and directed by Mamoru Oshii.
These two films are a great choice for most anime beginners. You can pick both of them from Manga Entertainment, from Amazon.co.uk for $9.99 for the DVD version and $10.99 for the Blu-ray version. And it's going to contain both the first movie and the second movie. Right then,
yep.
I'll probably be more comfortable doing it.
Okay, the first movie, Ghost in the Shell, released in 1995 and partially funded by Manga Entertainment themselves.
Yep.
It was created because Manga Entertainment wanted another big anime film like
After Akira.
Akira,
of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, the film was successful, though not quite as successful as Manga Entertainment hoped it would be.
I'm not too sure about that, because I think they said on VHS was the biggest seller ever.
Mm, well.
It might be in America, maybe, too sure about that. But in the UK, it's certainly the biggest ever on VHS.
But you can't deny the influence it's had, considering it's a film that was heavily inspirational
for a certain
trilogy of films.
Yes, we won't name them.
But yes, you merely have to see the start and you'll pretty much figure out which trilogy of films it is.
Yes, very much so.
Well, the film is based on the original manga and follows the Puppet Master plot that was in the manga, condensing it all down into a film. It's set in 2029, and basically, the internet has become much more advanced than it is now, especially when the film was made.
Yeah.
People have got computers in their brains that let them to connect to the internet and to each other, and cyborgs are...
the whole body can basically... The only thing left is the brain now, really, isn't it? Everything else is, mechanical.
Our main character, Major Kusanagi, is one such cyborg, where the only organic part of her left is her brain. Several of the characters are various levels of cyborgs,
yeah.
But the only completely human characters, more or less, being the Chief and Togusa.
Yeah.
And the other main character is Boato, her partner, who's also a cyborg, though not quite as heavily cyberized.
Is it just the eyes and the arms he's got done? Is it?
Yeah, I think the eyes and the arms, and perhaps some of the bodywork. The film's based in Hong Kong, even though the original manga was set in Japan.
I didn't know that, actually, thinking about that. I can't remember that.
Yeah. And let's talk about the animation to begin with.
It's one of the first films really successfully to do the combination of CGI and normal animation, really.
Yes.
I know they got GoGo 13 do, but they did a very poor version.
Yes, that GoGo 13 was an experiment.
Actually, that was just CGI, wasn't it, really? CGI with helicopters on it.
Yeah. Well, Ghost in the Shell really does pull off some impressive visuals that stand up even to the day standards, I'd say.
Be honest with you, I've not seen the bit film for ages, to really say. Plus, the film we're talking about, the one on DVD, is actually the remake version. They had CDI to it.
Yeah.
But even so, the movie's day was a very good looking film for its day. Very good looking.
Yes.
Probably one of the top few of its period.
And excellent character designs.
I would say that.
Yeah. A decent English dub, and also. But you can watch it in both either Japanese or English and not worry about, having to be confused by the plot.
It's strange to say that, because I was reading one of the books that said they reckon the acting was wooden. And I'm honest with you, I thought it was quite good myself. Mm. One of the books I was reading recently about it, talking about the manga anime in the past.
Yeah.
And it was wooden.
What's interesting is that the English voice actors for Chief Aramaki and Boato would reprise their characters throughout the franchise's entire history.
So did Major Makoto, a China voice actor, today?
Yes.
That might be one of the reasons, then, so the Bobby might be right slightly about that, then, about the wooden acting, about her.
Mm.
I really noticed when I was watching it.
Yeah. Basically, our characters are part of a special police investigation unit known as Section 9, which is dealing with cyber terrorism, which can include the hacking of people's brains to make them do crazy stuff. All the things that can
steal information, cybercrime. So it's quite apt for the day when you think about it, because we actually are kind of heading towards it slightly.
Oh god, yes we are.
Because when this manga was first released, when it was years and years ago, because when was the manga first released, roughly?
It would have been the 90s.
Before 95, anyway, because before the film was made.
Yeah, it would have been the...
And people didn't have worries about this then, did they?
No, it was very much the infancies of the internet.
Very much so.
You know, I mean, I didn't even go online till 1998, so...
I think Amazon just came up then, I think, thinking about it. But, it's quite after its time, though. He certainly knew what... He knew what was going in the future.
Mm.
Like Dominion Tank Police, because that's a lot about the pollution, which is a big thing now, isn't it? They were not talking about the pollution effects then, were they, really?
Yeah, or his other series, Appleseed, which is basically the post-apocalyptic world trying to rebuild itself.
Because that's more like a series, more serious version of Dominion, isn't it, really, isn't it?
Anyway, moving on, the film's villain is a guy called the Puppet Master, known as such because he...
I think a further term antagonist, I think, in this guy, because he's not exactly...
No, he's not your card-carrying Bond villain ha 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 ha.
No.
Well, shall we spoil them with the plot?
I think it's best not to, really, because a lot of time you spoil it, it's kind of, there's no point really buying the DVD,
well,
anyway.
No, which will be as vague as possible, but the Puppet Master is... One of those characters who, well, wants more than his current existence, shall we say.
Well, I can't... It's tricky to say anything, really, because I'm not sure I'm going to spoil anything, because if I say anything, you kind of spoil the whole thing, because...
But it's up to Section 9 to get to the mystery of the Puppet Master and find out who he is and catch him.
That's basically, yeah.
And the twists and revelations that go along on the way as they go. Yeah. I say, this film, definitely one of the first things I bought on DVD when anime started first coming out on DVD. In fact, I even had the film on VHS.
I'm not sure in my case. I think Kira's the first film I bought on DVD, I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
But I know Kira's my first thing I bought on DVD, but I'm not sure when I bought... I bought Ghost Shield probably not long afterwards, though.
Yeah. It should be the main staple of anyone's anime library.
Yes, I certainly agree with that, yeah.
Nah. The sequel film, Ghost in the Shell 2, was done, what, over 10 years later?
Let's have a look.
Yeah, 2004. And it's quite interesting. Again, Mamoru Oshii returned to direct, but it's quite interesting because this is where it truly goes in its own direction. While the first film was based on the manga, the second film is its entirely own plot. And follows on from the events
actually,
of the first
Actually, thinking
film.
About it, though, his plot is based off one of the stories in the first Ghost in the Shell books, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one was, I'm not going to say, but it's based on one of them anyway.
But yes, the whole premise of the film is stars Brotto and Togusa trying to find out what's happened to the Major since the end of the first film.
Yeah.
We'll leave the plot at that, shall we?
Because anything more, that is slightly spoiling it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but the most strange thing about this film is the release of it. Because in America, DreamWorks released it, and for some strange reason, they released it Japanese only with hard-of-hearing English subtitles.
And no dub, which is a rarity for a big film to release.
Well, when Manga Entertainment did a UK release, they got it dubbed by using the cast from the Ghost in the Shell TV series.
And of course, the tremendous cost of dubbing stuff, that is for the UK, that's a surprise, that is really.
In fact, it's one of the few times where I can think the UK release clearly is superior to the US release.
I think the only other case to release something English dub in the UK, we haven't got American one, is Melanie Mactress and Nothing by Manga Entertainment.
Mm.
And it costs a lot. I think one episode, it costs a minimum of $5,000 to dub one episode. And that's a lot of money when talking about UK market, when you're selling the thousands.
Yeah. But as we were saying on the first, if you said the first film's visuals were impressive, the second film...
It's all CGI, is it?
Pretty much, I think, it's CGI animation, but then to look animated.
I assume so. It does look very CGI.
Yeah, then the visuals...
Certainly a step up from the first film in quality-wise, in animation-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fluid, it's flawless.
Do you think it's the best animated film in look-wise, though?
Definitely one of the best ones we've had in years. I can't think of anything else... That really rivals it at the moment. Well, maybe Steam Boy.
Steam Boy, maybe, or something from Hayao Miyazaki, maybe.
Mm.
I'm not sure, really. But them beautiful in another way, aren't they? This is probably beautiful on a technical level, isn't it?
Yes, because there's absolutely massive amounts of detail. I mean, one thing, remember the woman who, the forensics woman they talked to, and that all her hands separated into those control.
That's impressive, but I think the main impressive thing was the parade in China, the Hong Kong parade.
Mm.
That's probably the kind of peste de resistance of the film, wasn't it? That was the main thing.
Yeah. Now, Well, one thing to look out for in both films, because Moroshi directed them, he always likes to include his favourite breed of dog in the film.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you can always tell it's a Moroshi film if you see that dog.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I mean, you see him quite a lot, the family dog. What breed of dog was it now?
Oh, God.
Oh, was it a Dachshund, was it?
Yeah, the one with the very long, droopy ears.
The sausage
ears.
Dog one, it was.
Yeah.
It? Well, that's not a sausage dog, was it?
Oh. But anyway, these films, the second film was truly a wonderful spectacle to watch. And it never lets up on the, okay, what's going to happen next? And is this really happening, or is this all in my mind?
That's probably the main principle. It does... Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, is actually Manga UK's biggest ever seller. It's actually sold 100,000 copies in the UK, which is a tremendous amount, when some anime in this country barely sells over 1,000 copies.
Mm. And, well, shall we summarise then? Ghost in the Shell 1 and 2.
Just must buy, simple as that, really.
Yeah, you need it in your anime catalogue.
I mean, you can pick both for £10, and for the Blu-ray edition, £11. Well worth it.
Yeah, a true bargain from Manga Entertainment, who continue to be, what, the king of the UK anime industry?
No question, there's no one really close to them, is there?
No, well, yeah, indeed. So, if you like Ghost in the Shell, then there is the two TV series, First Gig and Second Gig.
Which we'll probably talk about later date, I guess.
Yeah, and the original manga released by Dark Horse Entertainment.
Oh, of course, they got the OAV as well, set after the two series.
Yeah, yes, the Solid State Society. Which...
Yeah, that's it. And they also got the two...
summarising films of the TV series.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about them, because I've not seen them too many...
Well,
them.
No, I've not seen them either, because I've got the TV series.
Yeah, exactly,
why do
so
I...
there's no point, really, is there?
Yeah, because even I'm... Well, how can you condense that whole series into a film?
True, but I think because the series is like... It's not all the episodes are dedicated to the main plot, some are like single episodes, so you can get away slightly better. Plus, if you haven't got the time to watch the whole 26 episode series, there's a long lot of top things to watch.
Yeah.
So it might be quite ideal so, effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, go buy it. We fully recommend it at the Anime Basement.
People have said that, haven't we?
Yes. We're saying it again.
Yes.
If we haven't got the message clear, go buy it now. Alright. Right, we're now moving on to our first listener question by Sixshot. So, in terms of popularity of some animes like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z and others, etc., and in terms of good story for anime audience, in which the end results not everyone liking it and the annoyance of fan subs annoying the industry, do you guys think that anime is slightly going downhill because of some of these subjects, or don't you? Hi, Luffy, how are we going to tackle this one?
It's a long question, isn't it?
Yes, well, let's start off with poppy animes like Naruto and Dragon Ball. We like them, but we know that they're not everyone's cup of tea.
True, I think that's the fair stamp to make about it.
As for fan subs, I do think they are somewhat of a problem, but they're not the main reason the... anime industry has had a bit of a recession lately.
I think the main problem is they're biting too much for the kind of Japanese otaku. So yeah. It was a lot of series basically about schoolgirls.
Yeah, well, if you compare it to series from the 80s and 90s, there was a lot more diverse stories to go to.
A lot more diversity in the 80s, really.
Yeah, I mean, in the 80s and 90s you had Gaiva, Evangelion, Nadesco, Bubblegum.
That's the
90s. Yeah, 80s and 90s as a whole.
Oh.
Tenchi Muyo.
I think it had a more booming OAV industry as well, because the OAV industry has gone down quite hill, really, because it's not really making the money back.
Yeah, and everything seems to want to make a TV series, but not everything suited for that format.
True, because you see a lot of the shonen, like Bleach. It's ended up a lot of filler now, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes. And if you can't tell, we're not fans of filler, really.
One Piece do a good job of it, but... Bleach is not a good example of it, really.
No, they've gone to the point of just making the filler up and ignoring any attempt to try and wrap it around the manga storyline.
It's a major problem, really.
So, but yeah, essentially, the anime industry, well, it needs to make, less quantity, more quality, I'd say.
Quite a fair statement to make, really, but we ain't getting the best stuff, really, because so some stuff's not even getting licensed over here yet, is there? Or in America?
Oh, God, yes. We only... Keep in mind, we only get a small percentage of what's actually made in Japan.
We only get the cream of the crop, really, aren't we, really? So, you think how bad some of these shows are, you think how bad they must be in Japan as well. Some stuff we're not getting.
Well, you just have to look at some of the weird stuff that ADV dug up during the dying days, but that was going cheap.
It was okay, but it's not exactly... It's just cheap anime, really, but it's not actually high quality.
No. But I'd say... keep an eye on guys like Mangatainment or Funimation, who seem to be pretty... Well, Mangatainment's the king of the UK, and would you say Funimation's the king of the US at the moment?
No question. Plus, you've got Madman in Australia as well.
Yeah. And all three of these companies tend to release stuff that's good. Very rarely do we have a bad release.
I'll say popular, I think, is the best word, because you might get some good stuff that might appear through, like, Bees or NBM, haven't you?
Yes. Although I'm not too happy with the way Bees is pricing some of their box series at the moment.
But with the sales they get, they've got no choice out there, really.
Yeah. Although it is good that they're finally releasing the Anime Legends sets in the UK.
True, but it's something you can't actually do for, like, a mainstream, can you? You can't actually release stuff straight into it, can you?
No, it has
you
to be
release something singly. But telling that, they actually are really outlaw style like that, aren't they?
Yes, which has never had a UK release despite being shown on Toonami back in the day.
And the price of that might be between $24.99 to about £50 RP.
Hmm.
Sorry, £40 RP.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been the Anime Basement with Extro and Luffy.
Bye bye.
And we will see you again sometime soon. I'm a soul.
to send it.